With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Now, you listen to me. I want details, and I want them right now. I don't have a job. I have no place to go. You're not in the mood? Well, you get in the mood!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
We're trying to teach our children not to make fun of others.
Mongoloid Mike, is that what you used to call him? Bust his head open with a stick. Remember that?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You think you're ready to run with the bulls?
I've been earning and burning, snapping necks, and cashing checks.
Look, Brendan, here's the thing. It's the Catalina wine mixer. Okay.
Bah! Are you saying pow? What are you saying?
Bah!
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
It's Luke. How come there's no ice in my lemonade? Sir. Drop down or you give me 10 now.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. If you missed the first hour, you can catch the podcast at 1080thefan.com. We have a lot to get to here in the second, but this was brought to our attention yesterday. And it's a really good read at the San Francisco Chronicle website from Phil Mateer about the Las Vegas A's, Rob Manfred basically losing his patience with what's going on politically in Oakland, their stadium situation. So Phil Mateer, who wrote the article, is our guest now, and he's on Twitter, at Phil Mateer. Give him a follow for all things down in the Bay Area. Phil, thanks for joining us today, man. We really appreciate the time. I'll start with the political side. Up here in Portland, we're trying desperately to get all the politicians on team, get a baseball team, because we have a group. And yet we've been fighting the politicians on this issue as sports fans for over a decade. It feels like Oakland might actually be one-upping us with the politicians getting in the way and not really wanting to comply with Major League Baseball. Am I wrong on that?
What you have here is you got politicians getting in the way, and they do that. And the reason for that is because, like it or not, baseball parks, football stadiums, and basketball arenas, all of which we have here and have lost here and back and forth, usually involve some sort of public either subsidy or public land. And that is the case. That was the case with the Raiders, and the taxpayers have shelled out $220 million and lost it on the move back in 1995. We're not looking to repeat that. And that is plays into the decisions with the A's. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a backdrop there. On the other hand, the city of Oakland has already lost the Raiders to Las Vegas and the San Francisco for the Warriors to San Francisco. So it's a push and pull about how far city leaders want to go when it comes to professional sports. It's not unique to Portland or Oakland, for that matter.
Yeah, it's happening all over the country. Yeah, for those, I mean, you kind of gave a backstory there. It's a really interesting And I don't know, convoluted, if you will, a story just in terms of the ownership of the site and how they're trying to sell the site to build the new stadium, but one partner doesn't want to sell. Like, so explain what's happening.
Here, let me simplify it. What we have here is the Oakland A's have been playing in probably the last, I think it is, of the joint use stadiums. This is a stadium that was, you know, designed, as a lot of them were, to do both football and baseball. Okay, and when the Raiders came back to town after leaving from L.A., they put a huge addition onto it. They call it Mount Davis. And it just basically blocked out all of the views from the ball of the stadium and just made it into a huge cement. Okay, it's still functional. It's still go out there. You can go to play, watch a game there, and it's relatively cheap because it's basically paid off. But the A's want a new ballpark, and they would like to. They started looking at one location near the downtown. That fell through because of community opposition. They thought it would gentrify the area. I'm sure you're having the same issues up in Portland whenever you propose a site. The second one they came up with the mayor's urging, was on the waterfront, on the port of Oakland. But in order to swing that deal, the A's say they also need control to develop the Coliseum site, which is across town. It's 155 acres. And their deal was basically, we need to do development there to pay for the waterfront ballpark. that's where things started to get dicey because there was questions about did the city want them to develop that Coliseum site, or did they want to put it out to the market and try to get the best deal, or even, you know, put it up for affordable housing, because affordable housing is a big issue here. The A's started negotiating with the county to buy their share of the site. The city didn't like that, and they filed suit and to block the sale. That's where we are right now. The reason it's got Major League Baseball up in arms and is because it basically sent a message saying, look, even if you have a deal and you even start working on a deal, we are going to raise questions on that. And not only that, we're going to sue you over it. So Major League Baseball is going, let me get this straight. We kept you, the team, from moving to San Jose so you could try to build a ballpark. The minute you start negotiating with the team about ballparks, you start raising the ante, and now you're suing them while you're sitting there talking about building a ballpark? What planet are you on? And they laid the law down saying that, you know, right now Oakland Raider fans are going to be heading to Las Vegas to see the team there, and they may be going to Las Vegas to see the A's there, or maybe Portland or some other city, because there's options out there. Yeah. That's where it stands right now. If the Oakland can't get the deal done this time, and it looks iffy, then it's going to be up to the Fisher family, to who own the Gap, to the clothing empire, to whether they're going to stay here or they're going to move the team or sell it.
Yeah, Phil Mateer is our guest. He's a columnist covering the landscape in the Bay Area for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's on Twitter, at Phil Mateer. He wrote a really good piece, and we put it on our Twitter page, at 1080 The Fan and at Dirt and Sprague, if you want to click it and dive into it. Phil, I think you could do the same thing in Portland, because your point is right about politicians all over the place. Right now, if you polled people in Portland, I think you would have actually have a pretty good amount of support for baseball in Portland versus maybe what the political landscape says. What is it in Oakland? Is the political landscape how people in Oakland actually feel? Or do you feel like there is a group and a decent segment of people that really are fighting and want to save the A's and keep them in Oakland?
Well, it's interesting. Portland's a great example. You had a downtown minor league stadium, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it became a soccer stadium, very successful, big draw to the downtown, right?
Mm-hmm.
It helped transform that area from what had been a warehouse district years and years ago into a semi-hip area, and now into probably the premier part of Portland, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you could say, can you replicate that in another part of town, maybe up the river or down the river, and do that again, create a whole new neighborhood around it? So then people have the questions going, okay, so if we do that, that's really good. That would be great. That would be a lot of fun. But that person, chances are, they're at work right now. They're listening to you on their car radio. They're busy going about their lives. They're not an activist group to the level that the people that would say, no, I think that should go to affordable housing, or I don't like giveaways, or that's too much money, mm-hmm. or we're not for it. So you have your casual fan versus your sort of committed advocate. And 9 times out of 10 in democracy, the committed advocate rules. And that's probably what you're seeing up in Portland is certain group says yes. And another group that shows up at all the meetings says no or raises questions.
That's right. That many are that dedicated. There's no doubt about it. You had a great line in the article, too. I think it was Nate Miley, who's like the county supervisor, had said something. Well, if we get the county and the team and everybody together at the same table, maybe we could work something out. And you say, what a novel idea. Like, is this scare from Major League Baseball? Because this is the strongest tone that I've ever heard from them about just kind of get your ass together or we're potentially going to move on. Is that enough of a wake-up call for the politicians to kind of figure things out and make a deal happen?
Well, that's the catch-22 here, and it's probably playing in Portland's favor. No one wants to be the person responsible for the A's leaving, but nobody wants to be necessarily responsible for the deal that keeps them here. That is what you find in city after city. Okay? Nobody wants to be the one that says that the A's didn't go to Portland, but nobody necessarily wants to be the one who is responsible for the deal that got them there. It's a very strange dynamic, and it's like politicians are risk-averse. The Fisher family that owns the A's are risk-averse. They're looking at a $1 billion development to try to build a $1 billion ballpark, and they're not in the building business. So they're kind of going, hey, if this gets iffy, if Portland maybe had a ballpark that was ready to go, either maybe the Fishers or somebody else would move there. But business of big league sports, and I think you have it up there with the Trailblazers and the Rose Center, that's a huge complex that's used for many, many things, is a big business. And some cities are up for it, and some just have to accept the fact that they're not. And that's not what they're going to be. And that's that. Major league cities are major league cities for a reason, and it's because they put a major investment in it. And it's a controversial thing, because I don't care how you try to sell it, a big screen TV is a big screen TV, and you've either got the money for it or you don't.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I'm curious, too, to ask you about the Howard Terminal site, because we've been kind of following it, but not obviously as closely as you guys down there. And they need this money to help make that deal happen. But what is the viability there, like a go? It's just waiting on financials, because I feel like I've read about environmental issues, about, you know, different companies down there on the port not happy about it. Like, just where are they at with Howard Terminal right now, outside of this needing $85 million?
Well, the where they are on it, I haven't seen it advance much past the cocktail napkin drawing stage. They have a drawing, an architecture firm that drew up a beautiful picture of it, but the specifics aren't there. Mm-hmm. There's questions about the environment. There's questions about whether it's compatible with the port. There's questions about transit, how getting people in and out of it. They were talking about using like a ski lift gondola to get people from downtown Oakland to it, because you have railroad tracks and freeways in between. We have a lot of different things here that it's going to be very, it's not going to be easy. It's not. This, and that is why I think Major League Baseball is saying it's time to get real here. What happens with the team remains to be seen, but it's very tough these days, because more and more of these teams are looking for development deals to go along with the ballpark. The Giants are building condos next to their site. They're taking out all the parking there. It's tough to just get a single deal for a single use. Baseball stadium to pencil out, and that's where it's at. And Howard Terminal, very attractive, very sort of exciting idea. Until you sit down and answer simple questions like, how are we going to get there, and how are you going to build it? This isn't easy stuff.
Right. Yeah. Phil, you sound smarter than me. I know you're smarter than me. So thank you for hopping on to our radio show here and hanging out with a couple morons. I'll get you out of here with this question.
You guys are not morons. Thanks for the compliments. And if you ever want to know too much about anything around here, give me a call again. Okay.
Well, I was actually going to ask you real quick before I let you go. What would your gut say right now? Like, if I said, "Hey, Phil, I want a prediction before you get out of here. Do they stay in Oakland and get this figured out, or do you think they end up relocating?"
Well, here's I don't want to disappoint you with a straight up. I'm saying it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: if the Howard Terminal doesn't work, do they stay at the Coliseum site? The Fisher family bought this team not with the idea of making money, but with the idea of not losing it. And the A's have gotten lucky. People have tried to relocate them and this and that. I don't know. Are you guys going to – my question to you is, would it be the A's or the Devil Rays that wind up in Portland? What are the chances of you actually get – what were your odds of actually getting a competing – stadium deal going that would attract either the A's or the Devil Rays to say, let's take a look seriously at going?
I think the tough thing, Phil, to answer that question is there's so many unknowns for us. I personally don't know what my co-host would say, but I would lean that we would more get Oakland, and they'd want to keep the Rays more on the, you know, the Midwest, East Coast side of things.
Yeah,
and
they would stay on the East Coast, go to Montreal or Nashville, so you don't have to have realignment. Okay. But the Portland stadium situation is the same as Oakland's, where it's by the water, and there's all sorts of environmental and transportation issues that they also have not figured out.
And they won't break ground until they get a promise of a team. That we know for certain.
So that's the catch-22 that you're facing with. Nobody's going to make a move until they've got the tenant, and the tenants aren't necessarily going to make a move until they've got a space.
Right.
But keep it going. I would say within the next 12 months, we're going to know, and you're probably going to know if somebody says, okay, we'll do it.
Yeah.
There we go. Great stuff. Phil Mateer, he writes, he's a columnist covering the political landscape of the Bay Area, wrote a really good piece on the Oakland A's and the city of Oakland. He's on Twitter, at Phil Mateer, columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. Phil, really, we appreciate the time, my man. Thank you for hopping on with us. Oh, did we drop? Just dropped.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it was that was awesome. That was really good information. Yeah. Go read his article if you haven't, at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan. We tweeted it out. It was it's eye-opening. And as we alluded to yesterday, this is the first time Major League Baseball has taken a strong stance against the city. You know, every time Rob Manfred has commented, he's been the commissioner now for 5 or 6 years. Every time it's come up, he said, hey, we want to keep him here. We're going to do everything we can to keep him here. It's been nothing but positive. We're going to figure this out in the Oakland area. Been very receptive to the Howard Terminal site. this is the first time he's ever taken a hardline stance, and it needs to be a wake-up call. But will Oakland hear it? That's the question that still needs to be answered.
Well, we can talk about that. Is there more hope after hearing Phil Mateer talk about what's going on in Oakland, given what everything Portland's dealing with on their own front? Do you feel more confident at all? He says 50-50, and he also says there at the end, 12 months from now, we'll have a really good idea of what's going on. We'll talk about that a little more. You can text and share your thoughts at the Better You Today text line at 55305. We'll get to that next on the phone. Just a reminder for you guys, if you missed the beginning of the show, coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, you're not going to want to go anywhere else because we've got 4 pairs of tickets to give away throughout the 2 o'clock hour. We'll start at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We've got Matt Calkins is going to join the show. He's a columnist for the Seattle Times. He wrote a really good piece about the Huskies and their woes and how it's been good. They've obviously had success.
No doubt.
But they failed to break through in really crucial situations. And obviously the loss last weekend in Stanford, it only makes it worse. I don't even know if Seattle sports media is quite on, like, hey, should the Huskies be concerned yet? I was listening a little bit. And they were just, Huskies, they just dropped it last week. It's like, well, that was a bad loss. So
it's also early in the season, so you can go one way or the other. That's either like the wake-up call that snaps them back into it, and we'll see this week against Arizona, or things go south because the schedule's going to be tough.
Yeah, so coming up at 2, we'll have Matt Calkins of the Seattle Times, and then throughout the 2 o'clock hour, we've got a pair of tickets every segment to give away for, and we'll ask a trivia question, and the first person to call in and answer that question correctly will win the tickets for Friday's game, Colorado at Oregon. But we talked with Phil Mateer of the San Francisco Chronicle, and he wrote a really good think piece and update on the Oakland A's and the city of Oakland and how they're in a lawsuit against each other. And the title of that is Las Vegas A's, question mark. Mm-hmm. Baseball commissioner tells Oakland it could happen. Now, he doesn't just say they're going to go to Las Vegas. The quote basically was that he said, your football team's going to Vegas. You could also have to go to Vegas or anywhere else to go watch your baseball team if you don't figure this out.
Yeah.
After talking with Phil Mateer, what do you think?
I think it's important to point that note out too about Vegas. We brought that up on the show yesterday. He used Vegas because the Raiders are going there, saying, hey, your fans in this city are going to be going to Vegas to watch their football team. Do you want them to go to Vegas to watch their baseball team too? And he used other cities as well. So it wasn't just a guarantee that they're going to go to Vegas. I've said this all along, and I'm not wavering on my opinion. I don't know how something gets figured out down there. You have a cheap ownership group of the Oakland A's. It's not going to pay for anything. They are reliant upon the sale of the current stadium, which is why they're now facing a lawsuit from the city, because they don't own the stadium themselves. The county owns the stadium as well. And that's where this whole catch-22 comes in. If they need to sell the ballpark in order to finance the next ballpark that they want to build, but they can't sell it without the county and the city's approval, and it's going to create a really difficult, sticky situation for everybody involved, because they also need to not only sell the ballpark, but tear down the land, own all of it, and then build up developments and make money off of that land to be able to finance future projects at Howard Terminal. It's a really complicated situation down there. And knowing the political structure and the ownership group that is in place, it's really hard for me to see them figuring this out. Because all of this aside, the lawsuit and everything else, The Howard Terminal location that they've identified has all the issues, if not more, than what the Portland Diamond Project is facing currently with Terminal 2. Like, we ask, how are people going to get there? What's the public transportation going to look like? Is the city going to support your public transportation plans? How do you figure out the zoning change? Because that's a huge issue in cities like Oakland and Portland. The environmental aspect of putting a ballpark right by the water. There's all sorts of studies that need to be done. Like, everything that exists that we've highlighted with Terminal 2, and some people say that's why it's not a feasible location, and we still don't know if that's the answer. They exist tenfold at Howard Terminal site as well. So I think you can even get away from the lawsuit that's currently going on that caused Major League Baseball to be extremely upset. We don't even know if the ballpark site that they want to go to is going to work. So my money has always been on Oakland moving. I don't know if it's going to be Portland or somewhere else, but I don't see how they get it figured out down there.
Well, the thing that was interesting that he said was there's still uncertainty if the Fishers want to continue to own that team if it goes somewhere else.
I caught that too, that they might be willing to sell.
They might be willing to sell because they're going to need cash flow one way or the other. It sounds like most of their family fortune is just tied up in the Gap and everything.
No offense, but does anybody go to Gap stores anymore? I mean, everything's online.
I think you go online.
Yeah.
People go to Old Navy stores, but
Old Navy is superior to the Gap.
Some of these brands have dropped since Amazon stepping up, and
But I think the prospect is more likely that they would sell if they can't. So they bought the last chunk of it. I'm reading an article in Forbes back in 2015 or 16. The team was valued at $725 million, so maybe it's worth $1 billion.
Yeah, right? So they can make a decent profit on it.
And they paid $180 million for it when they originally bought it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so they're making good money on this.
So
thing.
You get in there and cash out if it's not going to work. I don't know. You just wonder if there's no way to make it work in Oakland and nobody's cooperating with anybody and MLB starts the clock on them, as he seems to think. You know, by December of 2020, if they don't have a plan, then they don't have a team.
Now, let me ask you guys this, and you can both chime in because I'm real curious your answer here. I understand why we wouldn't, and I understand the difficulties they're dealing with. Would the Portland Diamond Project Group, do you think they'd be better served having a stadium being built before an assurance of a team? So Rob Manfred goes, it's ready.
I don't know if it has to be a completed stadium, but having shovels in the ground in the process.
Starting a build.
Yes.
Yes.
Without a doubt, that would help them.
And it feels like the message they've at least sent up until this moment when we're talking about it, it feels like the message the PDX Diamond Group's getting across is, we're not doing that until we have a team. That's the vibe I get. I don't know if they've said otherwise, but that's the vibe I get.
Yeah.
And I'm not questioning because obviously they're much smarter than me. They're backed by people with money I'll never have in my life. But if you have a stadium, there's something to go to, right? There's, where are we going to take Oakland because the city doesn't deserve them anymore? Yeah, Portland has a stadium ready.
That's the biggest thing. We talked about this the other day that like in Nashville, they have a AAA stadium that's pretty nice, fairly new. I think it seats 15,000 now. They could probably
you could get away with that
quickly,
for 2 years. Yeah.
Well, I think they could quickly do some sort of temporary. You could
bleachers.
Go up in the bleachers in the outfield to get to 25,000. In Montreal, they've got the old, Olympic Stadium there. I don't know how much you could put into refurbishing it in some capacity so it looks a little newer and is up to, they got to do more netting and whatever else they got to do to the ballpark, put a new turf field on it, those sorts of things. But relatively inexpensively and quickly to accommodate a relocation, that's the biggest issue with Portland. And so if your only hope there is if the owners decide to sell it, then maybe there's an agreement that they stay there.
Like the Raiders are doing. I know they didn't sell the team, but they stay in Oakland until it's done.
Sell the team. Yeah. They'd stay there until they're done, and you could have cash flow going back to the Fisher family from the Portland Diamond Project or whoever becomes the owner out of that group. So there's incentive for them. Hey, we're going to get some cash flow. The team will only be here for a couple of seasons, and everything can be managed for the move down the road.
Yeah, I think this is why you really keep an eye on the updates from the Portland Diamond Project on Terminal 2. And do they finally enter into the agreement officially and start, moving some things around and figuring out transportation issues and all the different dilemmas that exist at that site right now? Because the sooner you can get that done, the sooner some of this stuff becomes more viable for teams moving. I'm going to reiterate, though, what I said yesterday, and I've said this all along. The fact that Major League Baseball has finally taken a hardline stance on both Tampa and Oakland is a great sign for Portland because those issues have been around for – I mean, how long has Tampa been in Major League Baseball?
96,
right? 95,
something like that,
right?
Yeah.
Their stadium issue has been around for 20 years. Oakland has been playing in the crappiest ballpark in baseball probably since the Giants built their new stadium down there because Candlestick used to be a bit of a dump and they finally tore it down. We're going on 20 years now where they've been playing in two of the worst stadiums in the entire sport. And it's always been, well, we'll figure it out. We'll get there. We'll figure it out. We'll get there. And you've never really had any serious pressure from the top down publicly in Major League Baseball. And you got it this year in Tampa, where they granted the Rays permission to look at Montreal and split season here, split season there. That's never going to happen. But just the permission to go look around was a huge step down there. And the same thing's happening now in Oakland. The fact that he's finally putting the hammer down and saying, like, what the hell? I've been supportive of you, and as Phil said, I kept the A's from moving to San Jose when they wanted to move further down south. Like, I have been supportive of this thing the entire time. I supported the Howard Terminal site, and now because you're trying to sell, the county's trying to sell their half of the stadium to the team, the city steps in and sues them to stop the sale from going through? Like, enough of this nonsense. And there is a ticking clock, I think, in Major League Baseball to get it figured out. And somebody asked, you know, if it's so hard to move a team, why don't you just get one? This is the whole problem, is that Major League Baseball is not going to expand until they figure out what to do with the Rays and the A's. Once they figure out those two solutions, then they'll entertain the notion of expansion, and they want to expand, but that's just their stubborn mindset on the sport right now.
I know we're against it. Sorry. I know we're against it. We got Calkins coming up at 2. We got crunch time, and we've got some NFL stuff we need to get to coming up next. But very quickly, when we had Dieter Kurtenbach on, who I think he's a columnist for the Bay Area News Group, you remember he dropped that line, and I don't want to butcher this, but I want to get this right. He said something to the effect of, if they don't have this deal figured out, that in 2 years from now, revenue sharing is, they cut them out in revenue sharing or some, it's something like that, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there a timeline?
There's a change
where,
coming to the revenue sharing model in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, where if they don't have their stadium situation figured out, they will not be getting a cut. Sounds pretty problematic for a group that's owning a team and not caring about making a profit and looking to not lose money.
They rely on the revenue sharing.
They want the break even so they can get the revenue sharing and make good, because they know they're not going to get the attendance money and be able to make a good amount on just tickets and stuff.
Right.
So that's another clock to be thinking about as well. But I'm with you. Rob Manfred stepping up and kind of, you know, threatening him a little bit. You need that. And maybe this will push things along further than we need them to go. At a quicker rate, and maybe we'll get some news, good or bad. We'll at least get some news from the Portland side of things. All right, coming up next, Calkins coming up at 2. He writes for the Seattle Times. He wrote about what's going on with the Huskies. We got crunch time, but up next, some NFL news and note.
Give me some more news, I gotta have fun.
Hey, we'll have some fun with audio coming up in a little bit. We have a motivational speech to play for you. We have a Major League Baseball pitcher getting hyped, and a Spanish radio touchdown call. Those are our four. We love playing Spanish radio touchdown calls on this show.
Now, did you react to this because you saw it on Twitter? Because it's already Wednesday, and this game was on Sunday.
The Panthers game. Yeah. I just miss it. Somebody had tweeted it to us, and I wanted to play it Monday, and then I forgot. And then I saw it again last night, and I was looking at stuff, and I was like, that's right, we haven't played that yet. And it's our go-to Spanish broadcasters, too, the Carolina Panthers.
Are there other Spanish broadcasters that we have?
Yeah, I think almost every team has them, don't they?
I would hope so.
I think almost every team has them at this point.
Hey, American football is big in Mexico, man.
I had a buddy the other night who accidentally pressed the S&P button, or SAP, what do they call it, on his TV. He was like, why is my TV speaking Spanish to me? It's like, you press the button, man. You got to unpress the button, all right?
I like that you had to tell him what was going on. Yeah. He's never heard of SAP button?
Never figured it out. Why is it in Spanish? I want to get to a couple of NFL notes, though. One other story that we've kind of been missing is the Redskins. We'll get to that in a moment. I did see this quote, though, earlier, and you got a feel for this guy, right? So Josh Rosen in Miami is on his second team in 2 years, top 10 pick. It's bounced after 1 year because the Cardinals get the number one overall pick. And now he's just playing for just an atrocious football team, no help around him. And the whole plan right now in Miami is essentially to tank for Tua. That's their big slogan this year. Tank for Tua. Let's get the number one pick and take Tua. Well, he was actually asked about this in the Palm Beach Post down there. And here's what Josh Rosen had to say. He said, I don't think about the future too much, but I'm aware of it. And the way I'm sort of approaching this year is, it feels like I'm really trying out for the team. I feel like I'm auditioning, and I'm trying to put my best foot forward and prove to everyone upstairs, Coach Flo, the GM, that I'm the man moving forward. I'm excited to hopefully prove over the next 12 months that I'm their guy moving forward. You got a feel for this guy, right? Like, not only has he already been casted aside by one organization, now the organization that he's on is actively tanking for the next quarterback. So the same exact thing's going to happen to him back-to-back years.
Well, brace yourselves on this one. I saw Matt Miller, who's on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. He did he's like, it's my day off, I'll do a mock draft for the first round. And he did the mock draft, and he actually has the Dolphins taking Justin Herbert.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Oh, God. He thinks number one overall, really?
Yeah, he thinks they're going to get Herbert, and then he thinks they're going to go get Judy from Alabama. You need a star wide receiver. You're going to get a star quarterback, right?
There you go. They've already traded all their good wide receivers. Jarvis Landry's gone. Kenny Stills is gone.
I mean, like, I feel sorry for him in the sense of he hasn't gotten a fair shake. I don't feel sorry for him overall, though, because he's going to land somewhere else and somebody else will give him another chance.
Yeah.
And look, Dirt, at some point, it's not always fair to him, right? We talked about this with Mariota a little bit. Offensive coordinators, you go through multiple systems. Is that fair to somebody? And largely everybody says no. But at some point, if you want to prove you're a franchise guy, you're deserving of it, you just got to go out there and produce. You have to. And I know it's not equal. It's not fair. You weren't the number one overall pick. But if it doesn't work out in Miami, which it doesn't feel like it will, wherever he goes after this, all right, there's your slate. Go prove it now, right? You're 3 years into the league. You haven't necessarily had an absolute fair tryout here in the league of being a franchise guy. But at some point, production has to speak more than anything else. I think he'll get his chance, whether that's staying in Miami and them going a different direction because they like him, or him going to a Cincinnati or another team that's maybe a quarterback away and they go, yeah, this guy's better than Andy Dalton. This is also the pressure that almost every NFL quarterback faces every year. No matter who they are, they're one injury, one critical injury away from going, well, he'll never be right again. Or they're two or three games away from going, hey, he's really sucking, right? People in Atlanta are mixed, right? Their beat writer said they're mixed on Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Now, Matt Ryan's gotten more than two seasons to be an NFL starting quarterback and a franchise guy. He's got $100 million guaranteed. He's been to a Super Bowl. But even the great quarterbacks who get established eventually face that criticism. And so I like his approach. I think he's a very mature kid, and he doesn't strike me as, oh, woe is me, life is unfair. He's just telling you what every NFL quarterback thinks. This could be it for me.
Yeah, he's just looking at it as a tryout. I got to play well this year. I'm going to lose my job. They're tanking for Tua. That would be wild if they took Herbert over Tua after everything we've seen in college. But stranger things have happened. But I wanted to bring that up from Josh Rosen. I like his approach. For him, for his sake, I almost hope at this point, if he gets bounced again in Miami, which we all know is going to happen, they're going to take a quarterback number one overall. Because even if he shows signs of life, it's not going to be enough with a terrible offensive line and nobody to throw to or hand the ball off to. There's only so much he can do. I almost hope he gets a chance to go like the Teddy Bridgewater route. Now, it's tough because he's still on his rookie deal, so they're going to trade him to a team that maybe wants to play him. But I'd like to see him as a backup in a good spot. Like, just go back up somebody like Drew Brees or Tom Brady. Just go hang out behind the scenes for a year or two and wait your chance. Maybe when an injury happens or they get older, you can go in and play at some point. Maybe Minnesota, sure. Maybe Minnesota trades for him. He's a backup for 1 year and they don't want to pay him again, so they move on, right? I hope he gets a better situation down the road because he's been railroaded now twice, and it's going to happen in a couple of months. One other NFL story. We haven't talked about this yet this week, but Jay Gruden was officially fired on Monday by the Washington Redskins. Did you see John Gruden's response to this?
Welcome to the club, bro.
He said, my dad's been fired. I've been fired. Jay's been fired. Welcome to the club, bro. I love that from John Gruden. The rumblings out of their new coaching search, though, are twofold. One, people are speculating that they want to trade for Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He is the second name on the Vegas board to bet of most likely to be the next head coach. The other name I've never heard.
Oh, some random like coordinator or something.
Yeah, it's a name I didn't know.
Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire usually with that stuff in Vegas. So that would be really interesting. Maybe Pittsburgh's finally ready to move on and Washington trades for it. The other guy who was throwing his hat in the ring, I'd love this too. Rex Ryan has officially thrown his hat in the ring. He was on a radio station in D.C. and he was asked about if he would like that job. He said, of course, I would take it. People are going to line up for this job. Can the Redskins please hire Rex Ryan? Can that please happen?
I don't think anybody's giving Rex Ryan a job.
Please let that happen.
No, I think Rex either has to admit that he's not head coach material and he's either going to be a D.C. or he's going to stick to television.
I can't wait for that first meeting where Rex...
There's no chance they would do that.
Please, it's the Redskins, so don't say never say never.
Daniel Snyder walking down and just goes up to him. Hey, Danny, what's going on? And Snyder loses it.
Did you?
I would love it.
I don't know. Did you guys hear Bruce Allen talk after they fired Gruen?
No.
So Bruce Allen, their president, he said a lot of things. One of them that stuck out to me was, he insinuated that their culture is actually going really well.
Yeah, they got good culture.
And they're well on their way to being where they want to be. This was just a move that they had to make. Never mind the fact that they named Bill Callahan their interim coach, who's sucked everywhere he's gone.
Of Callahan Auto Parts.
Yeah, absolutely. Right there in Sandusky, Ohio. Or never mind the fact that Bill Callahan's already come out and said, yeah, Dwayne Haskins is now going back to the bench. We're going to place Case Keenum because Dwayne Haskins sucks. Everything's going swimmingly well in D.C.
Now, also, the stories this week about the backlash from Jay Gruden when they drafted Dwayne Haskins. He didn't want to take Dwayne Haskins. they wanted to take Dwayne Haskins, so they did it, essentially signaling that they were going to fire him because you lead around a quarterback in most places instead of a head coach, and that's it's like Belichick. But then even behind the scenes now, there's reports coming out that Dwayne Haskins isn't anywhere near ready to play. It's just it's been a weird, weird storylines coming out of the woodworks.
I don't want to do hyperbole because then Boss Man might actually joke with me on this, but if we came in and our boss said you have to do an hour of soccer every day, would you do it? Would you keep doing this job?
Yes.
I wouldn't.
Oh.
I don't want to talk soccer. No. I have no interest in following soccer.
No, I would.
You're not going to force that on me. That's the difference, though. If you don't want a quarterback, why are you still coaching the team? You have no say in who you're drafting with your first pick, and you clearly don't want him, and then your boss says you're taking him anyway. Jay Gruden was treated like absolute dog crap and told to come in at 5 a.m. to get fired. Jay Gruden could also just quit and said, why am I going to be the coach here anymore?
I think the thing there is there are only 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL, and there's no guarantee you're ever going to get one again.
Disagreement on him.
Well, look at Rex Ryan, for example. I know Rex Ryan has his issues with feet, and it didn't end well for him at both New York and in Buffalo.
But Jay Gruden, he's the last coach to get them to the playoffs. He's also not had another head coaching job in the NFL.
No.
If he quits that dumpster of a franchise, I don't think anybody in the NFL is going to go, well, Jay Gruden quit. We can't hire him. I think if you don't want a guy and it's going to jeopardize your future, which how would you not think it would when you're taking a quarterback, you need to evaluate your situation. And you need to say, am I going to succeed here? Am I going to succeed with this team who has largely been nothing but embarrassing since Dan Snyder's owned them and is now making me coach a quarterback I didn't want to pick?
Yeah, he clearly wanted to succeed with Case Keenum and then Colt McCoy. He did not want to have to play Dwayne Haskins. The second he had Colt McCoy ready, he started him last week, did not start Dwayne Haskins. So not a pretty sight there in D.C. The rumors are they want to trade for Mike Tomlin this offseason, so we'll see if that ends up going down. And Rex Ryan throwing his hat into the ring saying, hey, I'll coach your team. Go ahead, hire me. I'll take this job. He also, I'd love the quote of already buttering up by saying people are going to be lining up for this job to be the head coach of the Redskins. All right, let's have some fun with audio. We got a pump-up speech we got to play for you, get you all fired up. We also have a pitcher that is getting ready for the Game 5s, and I don't know if this is a good omen or bad omen, and a great Spanish radio call in the Panthers game. Fun with audio coming up as well as a just quintessential Philadelphia story. We'll try and squeeze into crunch time as well. Coming up next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where the trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. I was at the Glorious House of Gains this morning.
Let's go! Nice job!
Thank you. Be back again tomorrow. We got Matt Calkins coming up top of the hour. What in the world's going on with the Huskies? We'll talk to him, Seattle Times, at 2 o'clock. We also have prize bribes for you. The entire final hour of the show for Oregon and Colorado. Four pairs of tickets to give away, but you got to be listening to win those tickets. Let's have some fun with audio, and then I'll get to the Philadelphia story in a moment.
On the ticket thing, I forgot to mention in the last segment, you can pick the tickets up here at the radio station.
Yes.
If you're on the phone and you win and there's something that's popped up, let Swag know, and we'll get an email contact for you, and we'll coordinate it.
There you go.
That's what I was told
to tickets,
say.
Huh?
I don't know if we can email the tickets.
Oh, okay.
I was just told they're at the station.
Okay.
They're putting it in the system. If there's any issues, we can email Maddie the winner info.
Got it. Okay. Well, let us know if anything comes up, but we'll have those tickets to give away, and we'll explain it all coming up in the final hour of the show. Let's start with the kid motivational speech. Okay, yeah, we love a good motivational speech on this show. You know, somebody get you fired up, get you all amped to take on the day.
Sometimes it feels like people peed in your Cheerios and you just need the right person to say the right thing.
Right, kind of snap you back into it, right? Well, let this little kid snap you into the rest of your Wednesday.
Wait, when I saw Cole get angry, I want to see all of you do that. Because if you do that, you're terminated to the game. And not say be what person, be you, but also have passion. Be determined. Be this team. Be a maverick. And when we get on that field, let's show the Cisco Lobos how to be a maverick. Let's show them. Let's show that we can beat them on their home field, on our home field. We can beat them anywhere. We can go to New England, for goodness sake, play the snow. It's
I love the point in motivational speeches when you realize the person has reached a crossroads and they don't know where they want to take it.
Yeah, he reached that point.
They can beat us on their field, and they can beat us on our field. New England, for goodness sakes. We'll take you to New England and kick your ass over there.
Did you ever, like, you were a quarterback. I wasn't. Did you ever give a speech?
No, I was not speech. I was not speech bro.
Can I tell you a funny story about a speech I had?
Were you speech bro?
I wasn't speech bro. I think I could be speech bro, but
okay.
I don't really care. It's like, if you can't get your own motivation, that's a you problem. We had a speech go on in our high school. It was a legendary speech because we couldn't believe the person giving the speech was the one giving the speech. And some of us were kind of like, I don't think he should be giving the speech. He gave the speech. He got like a few little, yeah, let's go. We lost 81-0 in that football game.
Ooh, not much of a rah-rah moment there.
The first drive got all the way down to the 2.
Here we go.
Pick 6. Ooh. Didn't pass the 50-yard line the rest of the night. Had a teammate turn around and go, yeah, I knew he shouldn't have given the speech. He was the wrong guy to give it.
I felt like that was, if you looked at like high school age teams on down, the vast majority of them had the guy giving the speech that nobody wanted to hear the speech from, right? Like everybody has those stories. Like, why? Like, Billy, sit down, okay? Like, you're like the backup linebacker. Like, nobody cares, man, all right? Like, we don't need to hear a speech from you. You're not motivating anybody. Like, every team, there was always the guy that wanted to be the rah-rah guy, and it just fell on too many deaf ears.
Yeah. I'm much more in the...
I said, yeah, the bench kid who thinks he matters.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Giver. I mean, I'm not saying with that kid in particular, he might be the best player on their team for all I know, but I find the motivational speeches... I don't think you're not saying anything that nobody doesn't know.
No.
You know, we're going to go out here. We're going to play hard. We're going to bring it. Everybody else is like, can you stop talking so we can go do that? I'm not really fired up by motivational speeches.
I just love the new word that the kid came up with, determinated to the game. That was fantastic.
I can relate with that word. That sounds like something I would have said too as an adult. So
we said in college, our coach decided that instead of a pregame speech, he would read The Little Engine That Could, most unmotivating speech ever. Needless to say, we got our asses handed to us in that game.
Yeah. Why would you read The Little Engine That Could?
All right, boys, gather around. We got a speech.
Yeah.
The Little Engine That Could.
You're relying on gravity for a fourth quarter comeback.
Somebody said Dirt might not have been speech bro, but he was talking S bro when you got up to bat. I know that firsthand. I mean, that happened. Yeah, that's the difference. I'd talk some S to you, but
Trash is much different.
Yeah, I'm not giving that speech.
I used to regularly talk trash to Park Rose. We'd be down by 20 to 30 points. I didn't care. I'm going to let you know what I think.
Yeah, go do your damn job, all right? Come on.
Where do you think, is it Notre Dame? Is it Vince Lombardi? Where did the motivational speech really take firm hold?
Lombardi, right?
Newt Rockne. With Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
The Rudy scene where he stands up on the bench.
I mean, one speech, basically, if you're going to go Newt Rockne, locker room speech, you're telling me one speech in the history, in the early history of sports, has now motivated an entire genre of movie making to go, we need to have a motivational speech scene. Where's this at?
Right.
Let's make it at the end when the team shouldn't win, but they somehow do.
They find a way to pull out a miracle, all thanks to the speech. Quack, 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 quack,
quack, quack, quack, quack, quack, quack.
Oh, I love that little kid. That was pretty funny. All right, let's continue on. Should we go to Mark Melancon next? I don't know how this makes you feel as a Braves fan, but speaking of motivational speeches, Mark Melancon arrived at the ballpark nice and early. He is a Braves reliever. He's their closer, actually. And he's posting these videos.
Big day today, guys. We need your energy. Game 5 NLDS. Let's do this. The energy. Let's go. Let's do this. Need your energy. We need to feel that relentless energy. Get going. Let's go. Game 5. Here we go. Finish it up.
Does
that make you feel more confident, less confident?
Is that white Russell Wilson? I need energy. Bring energy.
I don't know, but it was an awful nice pool table in the Braves clubhouse there in the new ballpark.
So was that multiple? I'm assuming it was multiple videos.
So
cut
the
together.
First one, he's walking in through the service entrance, so he's going in the bows, and then he was in.
Yeah, one scene, he's in the clubhouse.
Then he's in the clubhouse. See, he's by his locker, so he's got to tone it down.
I could get behind that, and I'll tell you why. I think Melancon's actually having fun with it, and then like you
somebody
have,
asks if he's an energy vampire.
If you have if you have an Instagram account, you're doing a story and it starts the first one with energy. And then the next story is, we need energy, guys. We need that energy. And then the third one, he's in a cold tub. We need that energy.
Get that energy.
I'm actually entertained and getting a kick out of that versus more the motivating, making me fired up. I'm going to this game. Guess what? I'm going to have energy.
No, it's game five.
It's game five.
It's it. I know. I got to be pumped up for this, okay?
Has anybody ever walked to the motivational speaker after a game and said, you know what? Wouldn't have been able to win that game and do what I did without your motivational speech.
That doesn't happen very often. That does. Hunter Pence got credit for that for the Giants, but I always think, I mean, you win the game whether or not you get a speech or not.
I think positive reinforcement is different, and I think it's better than motivational speeches. You know,
yeah.
A little clapping.
Sure,
let's go.
Good
job.
You're a Jason Garrett fan, huh?
No.
You like the Jason Garrett model of coaching?
No.
Hey, let's go. Hey, no. Let's go.
No. Nope.
I'm proud of you guys.
No.
Proud of you guys. Keep up the good work.
Now, if you told me he knew what the hell he was doing every week,
sure,
and
maybe it's a little
clapped,
different.
I'd be a Jason Garrett fan.
Let's get to this last bit audio. We missed this earlier in the week. I know we had one of our P1s that sent it to us the other day, and I apologize for letting it slip through the cracks. We pride ourselves on playing solid Spanish radio broadcasts at NFL games. And I think the Panthers have the best group of broadcasters, and this was their radio call.
Do we know anybody else?
No, but they're the ones that make all the highlights, so I'm just assuming nobody's clipping viral videos of all the other crappy broadcasters. This was a Christian McCaffrey touchdown, so he kind of leaped over into the end zone. The opening touchdown of the game in their win over Jacksonville this weekend, here's the call.
El Galáctico, Cal Allen, el procedente de la Universidad de Houston, movimiento de Greg Olson de izquierda a derecha. Le entregan a McCaffrey, corre por fuera. ¡Te vas a meter! ¡Touchdown! ¡Christian! ¡Touchdown! ¡McCaffrey! ¡Touchdown! ¡Báilale! ¡Confetis y serpentinas! ¡Con fuegos artificiales!
Can somebody transcribe what he was saying there at the end for us? By the way, that made the game 6-0 with 9 minutes left in the first quarter.
Well,
I know there was about 6 touchdowns and then a couple McCaffreys.
You know, it was Christian touchdown McCaffrey.
Ah, yes.
What was the bal? What word was that?
I don't know.
Does anybody know what that word was? 55305. What was he yelling over and over again?
I should be careful because some languages you say just the wrong sound and you said a really offensive word.
Say a cuss word or something. So there's your Spanish radio broadcast of the... Somebody said they're better than the Monday Night crew. I'm not going to lie. I would sign up to listen to that crew over Monday Night Football.
Can I give you... I hate to do this, but I'm going to tease you with something. Tomorrow we might have to pull some more football audio. Because did you hear Booger McFarland on Monday Night? He had a couple great quotes. I mean, just
good cliche, good lines,
just gems that I thought, oh, I'm glad you made that observation. He also criticized Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit. Said didn't think Jimmy G was very good.
Yeah, Brent Jones lost his mind in San Francisco.
I just saw that Brent Jones did an interview and he eviscerated him. So I don't know what Brent Jones said, but we need to pull that audio from Brent Jones and maybe play that tomorrow.
Somebody apparently the word means dance.
Oh, okay.
Dance. He's saying dance. Maybe he was dancing in the end zone while he said that. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Right? A little bit. So there you go. Some fun with audio. I didn't get to my Philly story, so I'm going to save that to me. Somebody said, well, it sounds like dancing to me from high school Spanish. I got a Philly story. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour. We have Statter story as well. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where the trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. Locally owned and operated with 6 locations to serve you. There's some fun with audio. Hope you are motivated to attack the rest of your Wednesday now. Thanks to that little kid and Mark Melanson. Game 5 of the NLDS in Atlanta is just about to get underway. About 5 minutes from now, Braves and Cardinals, winner going to the NLCS.
Come on, Fulty!
So we'll keep you up to date on that. We'll talk some more baseball stuff. As I mentioned, Statter story, a Philly story, poll questions. We got tickets to give away to the Oregon-Colorado game, but you got to be listening to win them. We'll explain all that. And also, Matt Calkins is going to join us of the Seattle Times. What in the world's going on with the Huskies? Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.